Hebrews. You are laughing already. I love it. As we started this series this week, it's a great series for us to go through that book of Hebrews from now until Christmas, until Easter. Woo! Easter's early this year. So the next 13 weeks, we'll be looking at this book, celebrating the birth of Christ and preparing for the incredible sacrifice he makes for us. And Hebrews is a book that's a little bit different than most of the books in the New Testament, which most of those books are often, all after the Gospels, are all written to, you know, non-Jewish people. Hebrews, written to the Jewish people, for the Jewish people, with pretty specific and direct applications to the Jewish life at that time. And it's a little different than our life today. And that's why this is a little different of a study as we dig into this Word of God. And it's a powerful thing because it is, as much as Jewish people are people, there's a lot of very familiar things, there's some differences, all right? This book of Hebrews is written to, in a sense, to make its case, to present in detailed excellence the position that they have, because this is what Jewish people did. They'd get together, someone would talk, put all their things forward, and then someone would come and argue with them, and they'd have to discuss and argue, discuss and argue, discuss and argue, discuss and argue, discuss, and so on and so on and so on, because this was kind of culture, the Jewish culture. And yet, you know, this book does it very accurately because it deals with all the things that are important for the people of God, the people of Christ, to know and grab hold of. And so it's just a gift for us as well as we grow in this faith to see the truths in deeper ways than sometimes we grab a hold of. Hebrews is a book that gets some depth that we don't often talk about, and it's exciting to get into this book with you. You know, making your case is a different style, and this is the way the Hebrews do, and so this is a process of making their case. Now, the truth is, when you look at this Word of God, it's because it's the Word of God that we hold on tight. This Hebrew book is filled with references to the Old Testament because they're talking at a time before this New Testament has been put together. And so, you know, even this first chapter, which we're hitting today, 14 verses and only, you know, eight of them are references to Old Testament scripture. 8 of the 14 verses are referencing this old, because this is where, if you're a Hebrew, this is where the truth lies. And as we are Christians, this is where our truth lies. As a church, we hold this up. The Bible is the Word of God, right? This is our book to help lead us, to guide us, to teach us. And there's so many great things as we dig into this. Now, the book of Hebrews, I will tell you this, is a book that a lot of times, it's a strange one that doesn't start off with anyone's name. We don't know. It doesn't say who wrote this book. And for many people, for years, it's sort of been understood that the Apostle Paul wrote this book. And that's because in about 150 A.D., after Christ, you know, this was already referenced that this was from the Apostle Paul, but then there are these arguments against that, and there's all this discussion and debate, and I'm not going to go into all that formal stuff, because probably the smart guys that go and do all the work on these biblical books and stuff, one of my favorite guys is D.A. Carson. He's just an incredible man of God, because he looks at the Bible, and he studies everything. When he makes his case, he sits down and says, well, this guy says this, and this guy says this, and this guy says this, and this guy says this. This guy, I don't really like this part of what he says. This guy, yeah, that's an idiotic thought. That's just dumb. This guy, you know, there's good, there's bad. This is this. Maybe I think this, but here's the truth. All that matters is what this word says. And even his study of this, he says, well, you know, could have been Paul, could have not been Paul. It doesn't matter because this book isn't about Paul. This book is for us. It's from a Hebrew culture to understand things in a far deeper, in a far better way. Far deeper, in a far better way, because that's the way they did it, in a different way, but they get us in depth, in ways that apply to our life, because there is difference between us and the Hebrew culture of that day. But the Hebrew culture of that day are human beings like us. There's a lot of similarities, a lot of things that are the same. And so as we dig through this book, I pray that God speaks mightily to you as we go through it. That's my intro. It's only 14 verses. Come on, we'll get through it. So as we kind of get this started out, it starts out exactly as it needs to. If you want to open your Bible, we'd love to do that. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. All right? This is how God speaks. We read this Old Testament. There's prophets sent out, people to share the truth of God, to help them see. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This is quite a statement. Old Testament, absolutely helpful, absolutely useful. God has said so many things, but nothing comes as clear, nothing is as strong as the words of Jesus Christ, the things that Christ shares. I mean, I read the Gospels, and it's amazing to me. He shares them so much more simply than Paul does. Paul's Mr. Complex, and he has his beautiful ways. Christ, it's clear as day. Because Christ is God himself. And this is a big thing. As he's talking with the Jewish people at his time, he's dealing with people that, you know, there's Christian Jewish people whom he's writing to, and then there's non-Christian Jewish people that come and attack and do different things against Christ. And he makes this case. Look, what's number one? And I know you know the answer to this. Christ. Because he's not a prophet. He's not someone sharing the truth of God revealed to him. He is God himself come down. It's a tremendous gift for us to grab hold and lift up Christ as first. To lift up this word as first. Because there are cultures and religions that sometimes they've discovered something great and new and even better than the Bible. And what do we say to them? No. Thank you. It's a good answer. You know, I think we live in a culture where everything new's better, everything new's great. And yet this is a big statement of him. As I was, we had a small group where we were meeting, and we actually had the Mormon people come and meet with us and stuff like that. And our discussion as the Mormon people, they believe the Bible, but they have these very true, amazing things that were revealed to them. And it's like, you know what? How do you put that above the Word of God? How do you put anything above these words that Christ has shared? I mean, these are powerful words. Back when I was doing youth ministry, I had this girl who, you know, praying, and she's in this great relationship with this guy, and she's like, I've been praying, and I'm pretty sure God has told me I should have sex with him. And I was like, that wasn't God. How do I know that? This is what the Word of God says. Because you can trust thoughts, dreams, opinions. Oh, this person came and spoke incredible things that truly must be the truth. Is it scriptural? Then we don't hold on to it as tightly. One of the great questions, I'll throw it out just to see if anyone answers, but the prophets were the old days, then came Christ. Does God send prophets today? Yes or no?
Yes, no. I'm afraid to say it loud.
God still does. In fact, even in the New Testament, there are examples of reference to prophets. But it's different. It's different. Because even though prophets come, we do not hold them above the Word of God. If a prophet ever came and said something that the Bible disagrees with, I'm going to be like, ah, look out, buddy. You're wrong. Because this is what God has shared with us. And so this is his point. You know, he's helping the Hebrew people who are in this constant debate and discussion, help them see what the true authority is. It is Christ himself, the God who has come down. Now it goes on, and it says, this is by his son, whom he appointed as heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. God created the world through Jesus. Jesus isn't a new thing. From the very beginning, he was God himself. And it's fascinating when you look in the first book of the Bible and you see the creation of the world, you know, God speaks. He didn't just bink. He spoke. Jesus is that speaking of God. This is actually what it says also in the book of John, chapter 1. You know, that Christ comes as the true Word of God to us as our true connection with the Father. It's through Christ. And that's why Christ is so big. And this is something he needs to help these Hebrew Christians who are in a very non-Jesus focus. Look, the reason why you guys are off is that you're not listening to Jesus, not holding on to him. Yeah. We got through one verse. Oh, no, we got through two verses. We're just zipping along. These are powerful things. Now, as this goes forward, I'm just going to kind of jump forward to get away. In verse 4, he comes back and says, Jesus is he is greater than all the angels. Now, this may seem like a strange direction. What's going on? Why is this writer going and now talking Jesus is better than an angel? Anyone believe that Jesus is not better than an angel? Didn't think this was a hard case. All right, in the Hebrew culture, there are the different histories and different things. And his arguments here in this entire book are covering the whole area. Is Jesus better than angels? This chapter, next chapter, kind of hits the angel stuff. Then he moves it to another category, kind of to work through these issues. But what's interesting about this is he makes the comparison. You know, Jesus is better than angels in tremendous ways. In verse 5, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. Is there any other angel that's called a child of God? No. It talks in verse 6. It says, you know, we are here to worship Jesus. Are you to worship an angel? No. Okay, so, you know, he keeps going on and works through this. You know, and he makes his case on why Christ is greater than angels. It's just one of many cases that he's making in this book, and we'll be hitting it through. But one of the things that is interesting is it talks about angels, is we're Americans. Do you believe in angels? And what the heck do angels do in your life? See. How often do you see angels? Oh, yeah, I think all the time that angel was there to help me. Do you think that? It's not really American to even think about the presence of angels, that God has angels in this world. And this is tremendous. If you go to the very end of the chapter, verse 14, and he's talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits out of service for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? This is a powerful thing. Angels, way more powerful than us. Angels, a lot stronger than us. Angels, created by God and used for us. I think sometimes as we go through the struggles that we face, we sometimes, whew, that was a miracle. Thank you, Lord. And maybe God did that through the angels that he's put in our lives to walk with us, to help with us. Truthfully, the whole world of angels and demons is a different world. We don't really understand what all is happening, what's going on. But it is a part of our life. One of my favorite books years ago, This Present Darkness, I get words. This Present Darkness. How many of you read This Present Darkness? Okay, a lot of you have. Good. This is not perfectly accurate. We're not sure this is exactly true. But it's a book that opened my eyes to the fact that our lives in this world, a lot of our decisions in this world, are also in the world of the battle between good and evil. Angels, demons, that there is a devil out there, that there are challenges that come into our life, and that God, the God who is above it all, is the God who is with us and the God who is even put angels in our life to walk with us, to help us in the struggles that we face. Now, are we supposed to pray to those angels? Are we supposed to pray to those angels? No. Are we thankful for those angels? Yes. Yes. We're grateful. We're grateful for those whom God, who has greater power than anyone that we face in this world, are on our side. Now, his point in all this is pretty strong and pretty clear. You got good angels with you? Cool. Are they anywhere near as good as Jesus? No. We don't know what's going on with angels. We don't hope that an angel's helping us. We put our hope, we put our trust, we put our faith in the one who is above it all. Everything we face, every struggle, every mistake, the God who is greater than all things is Jesus. And that's what he's trying to start this off as. And this is a short chapter. He gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But he starts this case, right? In old times, God spoke through people, prophets. But in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Now, some people always struggle with that, and they say, well, those days were a long time ago. We are in the time of Christ. We are in the time of the God who made us, the God who died for us, and the God who is with us. It's an unending time until the time he comes back and returns. It gives us confidence to know that God is greater than everything we face. It gives us confidence to know this is what he says. This is what I know is true. This is a whole lot better than the way the world thinks. And that's not even a hard sell. The God who made you, the God who came as just a baby on this Christmas celebration, is the God who is mightier and greater, and the God who loves you so very deeply that he even sent his angels to guard you and walk with you. So get ready. Get ready, because this gets a whole lot deeper as we dive into this book of Hebrews. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day so grateful, Lord, that you are mightier than everything we face. So grateful, Lord, that you give some clarification to many of the debates that have gone on among Hebrew people and the debates that go on in our lives, Lord, that we simply come back to you and we read your words and we dig in and we say, what does God say? What does Jesus say to us about this, about that? For Lord, your direction, your clarification, your truth is truth. Father, as we walk through this life, angels are a bit of a mystery to us. There aren't many of us who say that we've had angels talking to us or angels protecting us. But Lord, we're glad for the hidden thing, because there are other hidden things. There are things that attack. There are things that tear down. And Lord, what a gift that angels exist in this life, that you actually have angels here for us. What an incredible gift from you. Lord, we give you thanks, we give you glory, we give you praise in all things. As this new year begins, Lord, we pray for us to open our ears and open our eyes and dare to hear and follow wherever you lead. For Lord, where you lead, there is so much better. And we hold it all in Jesus' name. Amen.